Amen, amen. So the subject this morning is where change takes place. Amen. Can anybody say where change takes place? Amen. Where change takes place. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated as we think about where change takes place. It's important that we know where change starts. Amen. Where it begins. We need to know where change commences. Amen. Where does it take place? In your clothes? Does it take place in the car? Does it take place in the church? Where does change take place? Amen. Where does it take place? Amen. This is important, and the aim of our sermon is for us to see where our spiritual history starts. Amen. For us to see where our spiritual history starts. Amen. We know we have a physical or human history, but where does our spiritual history start? Amen. That is very important, because you need to know that you do have or should have a spiritual history. Amen. Amen. And we look at the fact that we are saved and we are changed, and we need to understand that if there is going to be change, amen, amen, in Washington, something going to have to change on the Hill. If there's going to be change, amen, in the world, something's going to have to happen in the home. If there's going to be change, if we're going to do God's will, then something must happen in the heart, because that is what God is after. He is after our hearts, because the heart is where change occurs. Amen. It takes place not in your clothes. Doesn't take place, amen, in the church building. Amen. Doesn't take place in your car. Change takes place in the heart. And if nothing happens in the heart, then there will be no change. There will be no real change if it doesn't start in the right place. Change only happens in one place, in the heart. Change only is needed in one place, in the heart. You don't need it anywhere else. If you get it right in the heart, then you're going to end up with some change in something else. If it does not start in the heart, then all you're going to do is build hypocrites. I think one of the biggest problems in the church is a lack of not evangelism, but discipleship. Because if you don't get the saints who claim to be saved, trained, and discipled, they ain't going to make a big mess in your church. There must be teaching. There must be training to go on. Discipleship is nothing but mentorship. Someone spiritually and mature has to mentor the others and show them how it is to be done. But oftentimes what we get in the church is we get folks saved and they go on about their business. You don't see them no more. After they get wet, they leave, they disappear off the scene. Nobody really keeps up with them. Nobody knows what's going on. And what happens is there is no reproduction, because they're not going to be effective in living it out. And they need somebody to disciple them, to have discipline. And you'll know when someone has not been discipled, amen, because all you keep hearing the church say is, I don't want nobody judging me. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. And what they're saying is, I ain't made no changes. I don't know how to live this. So let me just do and do what I want to do. But, amen, I want to get saved, but I don't want to get discipled. I don't want nobody to mature me. I don't want nobody, amen, to instruct me. I don't want nobody to get me trained or taught. Amen. I just want to get born. Amen. Just like a baby that I want to get born, but don't teach me how to walk. Don't teach me, amen, how to eat. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't feed me. Amen. Thank you, Sister Far. Amen. Don't grow me up. Amen. I just want to be born. I don't want to develop. I don't want to mature. Just leave me born. That's it. And man, that's why I'm emphasizing and stressing discipleship class and need people to teach that class. Amen. And that class, I'm going to get that book, but the thing is that this needs to be an ongoing thing because there needs to be discipline. You got to know how to mature. Well, amen, this ain't on discipleship, but let me just simply say change. Amen, change. There will be no change if it's not in the heart. Amen. If there's no change in the heart and somebody else try to change, then all that's going to be is an outside change. But soon as the lights are out, soon as the backs are turned, you're right back. Have I got a witness? And Paul writes this letter to the Christians, and he lets them know that we're going to have to answer to God. In verse 10, for everyone must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. Amen. We're going to have to answer. There is going to be a day of accountability for our Christian life. Amen. Amen. We're going to have to answer to God. Amen. And Paul says, knowing that I'm going to have to answer to God, amen, I want to make sure that you don't judge people according to what verse 12 say, according to the outer appearance. Have I got a witness? I don't want to be judged just by the outside in verse 12. I want to be judged in the heart because that is where the judgment takes place, in the heart. God looks at the heart. God looks on the inside. Amen. Amen. And he says that I'm moved, I'm motivated by accountability. And he says I'm moved and I'm motivated by affections. Because he says in verse 4, it's the love of God, the love of Christ that constrains or controls me. I'm controlled by the love of Christ because if Christ died for all, then everybody must have been dead. Have I got a witness? If he died for the world, then the whole world must have been dead. If he died for all, then all must have been dead in their trespasses, in their sins. Trespasses, what you intentionally do. You start in no trespassing time, but, amen, sins are what you're ignorant of. You're a sinner just by being born, you're a sinner. The Bible says in Psalm 51:5, I was born in sin. I was a born sinner. I'm naughty by nature. Amen. I was born this way. I was born going in the wrong direction with the wrong thoughts and wrong proclivities. I was born like this. I was born lost in my sins. Well, fact of the matter is that we want to look briefly as we think about this, amen, about this salvation process, the process of change taking place, amen, in our hearts. Amen. There's a process that must be followed. That this is how we got changed. And we'll get to the sermon next week, I believe. But he said that the word of God is really what changed us. Amen. And then we see the work of the Holy Spirit. And then we see the will of God. The word of God, the work of the Holy Spirit, and then the will of God. The process of change. So change has a start, have a process. Change starts somewhere. Salvation has a beginning. Amen. When you got saved. Do you know when it was? You know when your physical birthday was. Amen. But you may not know when your spiritual birthday was. Amen. As long as I know I'm born again, I may not remember when it happened, but there was a starting date. There was a beginning period when it happened, when he came in, when he made his entrance into my life. Well, according to the word of God, we know that it takes the word of God and the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, first of all, the word of God is it starts this process. You hear the word. The Bible says that we hear the word of God. Amen. Amen. And the Bible says that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. That means God wrote the Bible. The Bible is written by God. The Living Bible translation says the whole Bible was given to us by inspiration from God. And is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It strengthens us out. It straightens us out and helps us do what is right. All that comes from the word of God. The word of God, amen, is written by the Holy Spirit. You hear the word. That's what Philip the eunuch did when he was riding, amen, when the Ethiopian eunuch was riding, and the deacon Philip went up to the wagon. He said, do you, he heard him reading. He said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I except some man guide me? Amen. The good thing is that he heard him reading the word. When you study, don't ever just study and use one sense only. Don't just read with your eyes. Let it come out your mouth. It's something about it coming out, that coming out of your mouth. Amen. It engages the other senses. Philip said he heard him reading from the prophet Isaiah. He heard him. Now, he never would have gotten baptized in Acts chapter 8 if he'd been reading silently. Real evangelism has to do with you hearing. Amen. You need to say the word of God. Amen. You need to say it. It needs to come out of your mouth. Amen. You need to engage the senses. You need to articulate the word of God. Amen. When you read the Bible, read it out loud. Amen. Read it. Read it. You ain't got, I'm not saying shout it to where everybody can hear you, but read it enough to engage your senses. Amen. Because the word of God is part of the process of our salvation. The Bible says that the word of God, amen, amen, the word of God is quick, is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, rightly dividing to the asunder of the soul and the spirit, amen, and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Yeah. Nothing like the word of God. It's sharp, it's quick, I mean, it's a living, it's alive, it's the only living book. It is a living book and is powerful. It's sharp, amen, than any two-edged sword. It pierces. It does surgery, dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, amen, amen, amen. And the joints and the marrow. It gets all down off in your business in the process of getting you saved. You may be able to fool people, but you won't be able to fool God. God puts the surgery on you. He puts the word on us. God uses his word as a surgical tool. And he operates what? On the heart. He is a discerner of the thoughts and intent. God even knows what you're thinking about doing. God even knows what you're plotting to do. I mean, you could be doing something. God will even know. I know where you're going with this. I know what you're up to. You did that because you're going to do that later. I know what you. You see, God, you cannot get away from him. The word of God, it examines us. Amen. And it knows. It digs all off in us, and it brings us to salvation. And God is not fooled because the folk at church say you're a Christian. God is not fooled just because you wear church clothes. God is not fooled because you sing in the choir. God, it starts in the heart. It didn't start in the choir. You don't need to do anything until you make sure that you're saved, and that starts, amen, in the heart. Because you're sitting here today, and there are only two type of people in this room. Only two. You either the saint or you an ain't. I wish I had a witness. He left no third category. There are no in-between folk getting to be saved. Either, amen, there's no such thing. When you got born, there's no such thing as being a little pregnant. Either you're impregnated by the Holy Spirit or you're not. Either you are alive or you're not. There is no in between. It's black and white. Amen. And the Bible says, that what God is after is he's after the heart. He is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So what God does when you think about the word of God is he comes after the heart. Have we got a witness? Mark 12:30 said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. God says, I want the heart, because that's where change occurs. If it does not change there, then you basically just going to make a hypocrite. Amen. It starts on the inside, and it changes the outside. I can't cover it up and be unsaved. I'm just a devil undercover. Amen. I look like a saint, but I'm not. I'm an ain't. I got to be born again. I got to be changed. And it's something that occurs on the inside. God, tell your neighbor, God is after your heart. Amen. God is after our heart. Mark 12:30. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, all thy strength. God says, I'm after your heart. I don't want your hands before I get your heart. I know if I get your heart first, amen, then it's going to change everything else. Amen. Amen. You can be doing something, but if it didn't get your heart, amen, if somebody loves you, you want to know if they love you in my heart. You remember how you used to write those little hearts on those letters, those love letters, those girls you wrote to at church, at school? You wrote that heart on there. Amen. You put an arrow through it. Cupid done shot me. Amen. I'm in love, and it started in the right place. It started in the heart. Amen. And I know if you got my heart, then I know you really are in love with me. Amen. Because you don't know if somebody really mean what they're saying. You say, his heart ain't in that. He was at the altar, but his heart wasn't in it. You ain't got that guy's heart. You ain't got her heart. You got to get their heart. God said, I'm not going to get fooled. I'm going to get your heart. And I'm going to dig in there until I get it. I'm going to check it all out. I'm going to examine your heart. I'm going to put you on the table. I'm going to examine you. And I'm going to see the genuineness of your conversion. If you really are saved, I'm going to find out. Because my word is going to do surgery. The surgical knife is going to cut all off in your business and separate this. And it's going to come out with whether you really meant it. When I get through, you will be changed. Because my word is going to, amen, get in your heart. And it's going to do surgery and see if you're really ready. Because if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe where? In thine heart. That God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Make no mistake about it. If you confess with your heart at Jesus as the Lord of your life. Amen. I'm not talking about, amen, a nominal name. I'm not talking about Lord and name only. I'm talking about, amen, is he your Lord? Amen. Is he really running things? Is he ruling your life? Is he controlling you? Jesus is who I'm talking about. Is he the one that is the boss? Amen. He's the one in charge. He took the reins of your heart and said, give them to me, because you're going to wreck your life. Amen. You ain't got enough sense to run your life. Give your reins of your life to me, because I'll take you further. Amen. And one version says, Romans 10:9, this way. It says that if you use your mouth to say Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, have we got a witness? Amen. Amen. You will be saved. Amen. If you use your mouth. Amen. Have you ever thought about salvation starting with your mouth? Your mouth confesses what's in your heart. Amen. The mouth is only the well that pulls, the well that goes down to the bucket of the heart. What comes out of your mouth was in your heart. What you said came out. It didn't go in. Your mouth didn't say it. It came out. It came out of you. And if you confess him as Lord, if you admit it, that yes, he's the ruler of my life. Jesus is Lord. Can everybody shout it? Jesus is The Bible says that you can't say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12:3. I didn't get a chance to get that. Then I didn't get back to Friday. But the thing is that late. And he says that if you confess, you can't even say Jesus is Lord in 1 Corinthians 12:3 without the Holy Spirit. So you got to have the Holy Spirit in your heart. Somebody said, I want to be a Christian, but it's important where I start at. In my heart. In my heart. Don't come up here. Amen. In my heart. Oh, I want. See, some folk got religion in their feet, but they didn't got it in their heart. Have we got a witness? Your hands don't need to go up until it gets in you, come from your heart. Yes, it's got to come. It got to start off in the right place. Amen. It's the heart. Amen. And how do you know that Jesus is in your heart? Because when you got saved, he gave you his spirit. Amen. You see, you're not waiting to get to heaven to shout. Amen. This thing done already got started. Amen. We already have the down payment, don't we? The earnest or the down payment, that word translated means God, who also has given us the earnest of his spirit. The down payment is the spirit. The Holy Spirit is the down payment. How do I know I'm saved? Because I got the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is evidence of your salvation. You already should have the Holy Spirit right now. He's already in there. Somebody ought to be around you and know that the Holy Spirit is in you. They can sense that that Jesus is on board. He said, I've given you, God has given us the earnest of his spirit. He's already deposited it in my heart. And God has placed it in my heart. Amen. And you see, before Jesus rose, he didn't live in folks' heart. Amen. That had to happen later. Amen. Jesus Christ, Christianity, the only place where God came to live in a person. Amen. But he dwelt in the tabernacle and he hovered over the mercy seat. But Jesus says, well, let me let Jesus tell you. He says, when those people asked Jesus, Jesus told him that if any man thirst, let him come unto me if you're thirsty. Amen. And then he says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. If you're saved, out of your belly. Amen. That really means out of your being, out of your mouth. Because I got living water in me. And how does it flow out of my mouth? When I share the gospel. That's living water. That'll give life to somebody. All I got to do is tell somebody about Jesus and they get saved. Where'd it come from? Out of my mouth. Where'd that come from? Out of my belly. Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. I'm like a living, eternal water fountain. What comes out of me give life to dead people. And Jesus says, and he said that, but Jesus spake of the Spirit which that the believers on him should receive. For at that time when he was in the flesh, the Holy Ghost was not yet given. But because Jesus had not been glorified or risen, he had not yet been glorified. But after he said, now I've got to leave so that the Comforter will come back. I'm going to leave, but I'm going to send somebody back. Call the Holy Spirit. Amen. But I've got to go first. If I don't leave, he won't come. Read John 4:14. He talks about the Holy Spirit. But when the Comforter get here and John 6, the 16th chapter of John, amen. He shall guide you to all truth. John 16:8. But the truth is that he says that he was not yet given. But now, how many of y'all know he's risen now? And now that he's risen, he has given us the earnest money. Huh? The down payment has already been made on me. He said, I'm guarantee you I'm gonna, this guy gonna make it all the way to heaven because I'm gonna go ahead and put a deposit on him. I'm gonna show you how serious I am about him getting to heaven. I'm gonna go ahead and make the deposit. You know how it is when you want to take a house off the market, you know what you do, don't you? You go ahead and put some money down. You let them know how serious you are. And that lets them know that there's more to come. Yeah. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and seal this. I don't want nobody to get it. I'm going to seal it now. Yeah. I'm going to claim ownership of it. Yeah. And you ought to already have the Holy Spirit living in you. This is real. I didn't make this up. The Holy Spirit has to be in us. One version says this same thing this way. It says Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit. The Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been raised to glory. But later, those who believed in Jesus would receive the Spirit. And the Bible tells us that, you know, really, I didn't put it in there apparently, but yeah, I'll get to it in a minute. But it says right here that, and because ye are sons, God sent forth his Spirit of the Son, whereabout? Into your hearts. Amen. Y'all done got tired of this message. Amen. I ain't through with it yet, but he done sent it into the heart. He sent it. God sent it. He sent the Spirit into our hearts so that we can cry, Abba, Father, or Daddy, Father. We have a relationship by adoption. That's positional. We talk about that next week. That's not the same as relational or biological, but positionally, I'm in Christ, and that means that positionally I've been adopted because that positions me for salvation. Although I'm not a Jew, I've been adopted. And positionally I get all the rights and privileges as if I'm a Jew. Well, why does God want the heart? He wants the heart because the heart is where the problem is. Have I got a witness?